Go. Okay, and welcome to episode 16 of the Oz Football Podcast. However, this week we aren't in Australia. If you've listened to the show before, you will know we've been doing a bit of a tour, and this week it's brought us to the beautiful city of Wellington. So, thank you, Wellington. You've put it all on for us, especially the wonderful weather, which we really appreciate. We've come from 26 to 27 in Sydney, and we're in the back bench where we've been for, what, the past 3 days, Jane? So, we really explored the sights of the city. We did actually go for the walk yesterday for an hour and a half, had a bit of lunch, and then come back to the back bench at 1 o'clock and stayed here for the rest of the day. So, it's been absolutely superb. So, it's not the regular crowd. We've got a special crowd in this week, and it's brought to us all together from the yellow fever. So, we'll start on my right, and if you introduce yourself, talk a little bit about yourself and what your involvement is in the club and what you're going to be up to today.
Hi, my name is David Cross, also known as Hard News. I am one of the...
Wait there, Hard News?
Yes.
Go on, expand.
It originally started out as a username for the for forums in Australia, where I used it to bait Australian fans and pretended I wasn't a New Zealander, but gradually over the last 12 years, it's become my actual username that I use on forums and everywhere, and I'm known as around the world, also known as Fat News, but we'll leave that stuff out.
I'm going to follow this.
I'm one of the three people that ostensibly run Yellow Fever, but realistically there's another half dozen that do more work than the three of us that run it, so that's a wicket in the cricket for New Zealand is the noise you hear in the background.
Brilliant. Hi, I'm Patrick. I'm a student at the moment up at Vic. I'm just a fan, really. Love the club, love the game, love the A-League.
Hey, Ellie James. I'm here just to take the piss out of news, really.
Specialist subject.
Specialist subject, yeah. And Guy Smith.
My name's Smithy, and I'm mostly just here to crack a few gags about news as well, to be honest.
And get on it. This is going to be a great show, isn't it? To my left, we've got. Are you going to be involved with it?
Yeah,
you'll have to. Or if you can just come and go, would you please?
Okay. I'm Liz.
All right, Liz. I love it. Too much detail.
Is this the finance director?
Oh, finance, wait there.
Yeah, finance director's got a finance director. Is that a job title you've himself?
Liz is the finance director.
Brilliant. Liz. And I drive a car.
Liz drives the fantastic Yellow Fever mobile. And I'm Dagan. I'm just one of those tragic fans of the Yellow Fever.
All right, Pen. One thing I've noticed, and I'm going to talk about Wellington, the city, because it is a Wellington special, is one thing we noticed the minute we got off the plane on Friday, and then when we got into the city, there's actually, compared to most A-League clubs, you have actually got really good visibility across the city. Do you think you've got enough, or do you think you need more? Because as far as we're concerned, we've never seen as much.
When the club first started, there was a lot, the first season or two did, and then it sort of died off and you weren't seeing the signs around town, but the new owners...
Terry ran out of money, yeah.
But since this season, since the new owners in the second half of the season, they've gone large, and the brand's everywhere now, and as you say, there's signs at the airport, signs on the entrance to the airport. You'd be hard-pressed to know that the Phoenix don't exist. I'm not certain that they always quite get the message out of when a game is, but... certainly, people should know based on the amount of publicity that's out and about.
You always want more, don't you?
Compared to most clubs, and certainly when you look at two of the biggest cities in Australia, as in Sydney and Melbourne, Wellington has got far more out there than both of them clubs put together, to be honest.
I think Sydney's a real problem for the A-League. No one gives a shit about Sydney FC, do they?
Straight in. On 4 minutes and 9 seconds into Sydney, love it.
Hopefully, they'll get a decent franchise out in Western Sydney, but the Sydney FC franchise didn't really kick off.
I mean, the thing is, we're not slagging the Sydney fans, because the Sydney fans are the ones that go. It's the rest of Sydney.
But there's no visibility.
It's the same place. People lay into the Gold Coast fans about why no one went to Gold Coast games. The fans don't know. They're the ones that actually turned up.
Oh, come on now. What fans?
Yeah.
The beach, it's a private beach for four.
Well, to be fair, when you talk about visibility and cities, we actually, as part of this tour, went to the Gold Coast, and it was against Phoenix. First game of the season.
You just struggled to get a ticket.
I'm not even going to go into it. It was a bit of a tricky day. It took us a good 45 minutes from surfers to find the place, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was just a disaster. We kept stopping off and asking people.
It's out by the railway station, pretty much in the middle of nowhere, and I think a lot of the issues that Gold Coast fans talk to would say that getting there has always been their main problem.
Yeah.
Not so much the advertising and stuff. Other issues with Clyde and stuff. But yeah, I've been there a couple of times. Getting off the train, coming down from Brisbane is really easy. Getting a bus there is a bit of a nightmare.
Visually, there's nothing around that city either.
No.
That's one of the great things about Westpac Stadium. It's just in the centre of Wellington, effectively. It's
yeah, so it works.
By the train station, by the bus station, you can walk there from basically anywhere in the city.
I think just back on that, just right on the original question, it's Wellington's a small city, so to saturate the Wellington market and get Phoenix signs out there in a city of, you know, even when you take in the two largest sort of urban areas that are nearby, you're targeting 300,000 people, not 5 million.
Yeah, if you want to put signs in every bus stop in Sydney, you're talking a serious amount of wedge. If you want to put signs in every bus stop in Wellington, you only got six.
Yeah.
But then you've got to look at the competition, though. I mean, Melbourne have got to compete against the AFL, you know, rugby league. Sydney
Comedy
rugby
Union
league,
team.
Yeah, rugby. You know, so there's huge competition.
Fleury Yellow is great marketing,
don't you? That's true. Visibility plus, really.
Yeah.
But I want to know a little bit more about Yellow Fever, because obviously you guys are going really well. Your averaging crowds are probably just shy of 12,000, which.
Just shy of 10,000.
I think your average overall has been 11,500.
Yeah, those two finals.
Are we not unbelievably good?
It does include one of the finals games, which was 32,000.
And another one that was 24.
But, hey, everyone works on average.
They all count.
Yeah. But compared to a lot of clubs, Wellington is really tracking well, and Yellow Fever itself seems to be tracking well. Just give me a bit of back, or give our listeners a bit of a background on one, why it's taken off, and two, you know, what have you done to sort of launch it and to keep it going?
Well, back when Dave Cross founded the Yellow Fever,
this is an ongoing joke.
A horrible in joke. A guy called Mike Green founded Yellow Fever, and he's still floating around somewhere, literally floating, usually in a vat of beer. No, he bans himself because he'll still be hungover from last night, and he'll wander in here at about 3 and kick
have
on
two,
again.
Yeah, have two to top him off from
he's
last
a drunken,
night.
He's a drunken genius. I don't know why it caught on. I wasn't even here when it started. I wasn't around, so I don't know why it's caught on, but it seems to have. And it's you know, we're lucky that we get, you know, there seems to be a big group of football fans in Wellington that are keen to get together and make a bit of noise every week. I don't know what the magic is. I certainly couldn't pretend to tell any other fan group how to do it. We just do what we can, and it seems to attract people, doesn't it?
I want to speak to the finance director here. Because you just walked into the pub 10-15 minutes ago with like a massive banner, and then said to me, it made it back from Melbourne.
Yes.
Getting from Sydney to Wellington is not that difficult. It's quicker than going to Perth, but getting from Wellington to Melbourne, or indeed Wellington to somewhere like Perth, is a bit of a traumatic experience, which I'll come on to away days later.
Yeah.
But how come you're
Liz actually, amusingly, is one of the few people that was in the very first Yellow Fever photo that's still around.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, the day after Terry signed the franchise, we did a photo shoot at one of the pubs. And, but on the away trips, Melbourne's quite easy because we've got direct flights to Melbourne.
Okay.
So,
4 hours.
About the same as Sydney. So some places are easier to get to, but it's still expensive. But we really appreciate the A-League setting up these Melbourne games where we played a double header.
Yeah.
So, we sold out the allocation for the away zone last week in Melbourne. Partly because people have gone over previously for the Heart game the weekend before, stayed over there, and there's people who just couldn't get into the away fans.
We're going to come on to away days a little bit, but we may as well stay on away days now. I mean, when I first bumped into Wellington fans was obviously the Gold Coast, then I interacted with Steve over there at Newcastle, and you had a decent contingent at both of those games. How many sort of away games are you guys getting to the season? Because just Wellington and Perth supporters clubs have both really got it tough.
I think we're greatly assisted by the fact that our economy is shit and Australia's is quite good. So lots of Kiwis are over there already.
Right.
So, so if we take 10, you've pick up 50 local, yeah. 50 Kiwis that have given up on New Zealand. Have something yellow in their cupboard and turn up.
There's a decent expat community, especially the likes of the Melbourne games. There's a few people from earlier seasons of the Yellow Fever that are in Melbourne will go to the Melbourne games. And that's why I think this season we're starting to see more Yellow Fever at the away games. And it's also been people making specific trips, like the Melbourne week. People made specific trips to go to Melbourne.
Okay, we've got a new attendee here.
We've made a substitute. We've made a very early substitute.
But this guy's turned up in a top hat. I was going to say top hat tails. It's a yellow suit and a top hat.
Get a photo of James.
Sure.
Who are you, mate?
My name's Dale.
Dale.
How you doing?
All right, mate. Where'd you get the jacket?
Custom.
It's actually
imported from the mighty UK.
Okay.
It was white one day, but got it dyed. So I had an awful chemical stench to it for about the first 2 months.
And then you got it dyed. Yeah, then you got it dyed. All right, back to away days. I mean, the Melbourne one is a great idea, but when we get into finals series now,
we always try and go if we've got an away final. Although Perth,
it could be Perth.
If it turns out to be Perth, I think realistically we're going to struggle.
Yeah, because we were chatting earlier. It's you've got to change at Melbourne and then go across.
Yeah,
that'd be 8 hours, wouldn't it?
It's not the travel time so much as the cost that'll kill people. But we're lucky. So I mean, the whole fever is centered around our website, and there's a relatively active forum on there that allows people to come together for away games. So we're so we don't have to go out and communicate to people that we're going. People know where to go and look. So we tend to have a good little crowd together.
And then we spoke. I think Jane passed something round earlier, which is about the awards, the FFDU awards, which we do. This year's one, which is the voting is closed. You've actually been voted in two categories. One is supporters club of the year. So supporters club of the year, you got nominated and you received a vote on that. And two, the pub is in football pub of the year as well. I know on the post it said Australian pub, but on the vote it slipped. Then it said Australian.
Is this one of these ones where you sneaky cheating Australians have got? You got fine print. Must be in Australia to claim prize.
No, you don't.
Yeah, the irony of the Australian amongst us making their game.
No, absolutely not. If all our voting is legitimate and we don't fix any results at all. But it must be quite pleasing. You've been nominated in 2 seconds and voting wise, it's tracking pretty good. And we're like still 3.5 weeks out.
Hang on, though. Who else was nominated in the supporters group of the year? Who are we up against?
That's right. So yeah, there's about six. And it's not just confined to Australia, is it?
No.
It's not just Australia, New Zealand. You've also got your expat supporters club. So last year, for instance, Celtic won the supporters club of the year. So within there, you could have Celtic, you could have Liverpool, you could have Spurs, Sydney FC, Melbourne Victory, Wellington Phoenix. It's a supporters group who are based within Australia, New Zealand. Then it gets nominated, and once you've got nominated, you then supply us with further information. These two sector actually doesn't get voted on. It's not like the most popular.
Sounds like the Academy Awards, doesn't it? No one quite knows how the votes come out. it's like re-electing the Pope. Some stage there's going to be some smoke going up from a chimney.
I'm thinking a couple of choruses of "We love you, FFDU." Might get us a couple extra points today. So just keep that in mind.
I was thinking No Surrender.
There's 23 categories, of which 21 are all online voting, and then the rest go to a panel, of which we're not on the panel, so it's an independent panel, so it's
made up of Celtic supporters.
No. And Frank Lowy sitting there.
And I would definitely FFA aren't involved.
Ben Buckley's on the phone.
There's a panel of five, they vote or score separately, and then we add it all up. So it's
If the Yellow Fever lose, can we ring up Clive Palmer and ask him for an inquiry, please?
No, what's his new body? Football Australia Federation or whatever he's.
Yeah, he might be coming in.
Australian Football Federation.
Well, on that, and talking about away games, I kind of hoping that you should have, when you were up in Newcastle, it'd be good if you got some feedback from the Newcastle fans, because we know that they loved us. They came over and we really
Timmy from the squadron who wasn't meant to be in Wellington, thanks very much, mate.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
He told us that his missus didn't name us here, and so he hid in the fever zone, and every single shot of the fever zone had him in his full Newcastle game. he turned up for the one where the pub crawl pre-Christmas, the 12 pubs of Lockhead. And the Newcastle boys turned up that day and joined us from the first pub onwards. And I think they were still around when we finished, some of them. But yeah, it was a good day out.
So that's the way fans go in, you guys go in that way. Do you get many fans coming this way?
I think it's becoming quite a popular place to come.
It is. The Sydney fans absolutely love coming here.
Jess,
they often do 40.
Normally on our podcast.
Yeah.
She loved it when she was here.
How did you do that? Can I just say, our host today has just, all he's done is he's pointed at the glass that's empty on the table in front of him, and some bird scurried away to fetch him one. That is outrageous. How do I do that? How do you learn to do that? You are Yoda. This is not the point you're looking for.
I could try that with my missus, see how
it goes. I'll just go and fetch my own drink, I'll be back.
I was going to say, there's a small group of Brisbane supporters that have travelled over for the last couple of games. It seems to get slightly bigger, so the games that come play over here.
There was a couple down in Dunedin. One of them was travelling through doing a tramp in South Island, and he played us, he was in Dunedin for that game, and then there was another one, John, who seems to go everywhere, it sounds like.
But it's just like, I've been to New Zealand four times now, this is the fifth, but I've never been to Wellington. And this was obviously the perfect excuse to get to Wellington. And we've really enjoyed, our first 3 days here. I think the further away games you've got, they're the ones which you should highlight on your diary and say, that's the one we're going to make an effort for, to make it a full weekend away.
Well, because the thing that has sort of impacted some of us is the last couple of years that all whites have played in Australia.
Right.
Most of us, obviously, are fans of the New Zealand national team as well as the Phoenix. And you use up your escape permits and your money going to Australia for 4 days to watch the all whites. Your opportunities to escape for a Phoenix game become slightly less. And plus, the cost is just.
Yeah, but do any of the clubs contact you who are interested in coming to Wellington?
We chat with them. The Sydney guys have got two or three bars that they always come over to drink in and enjoy themselves in. We played them 1 year. We played, had a kick around with them in the park in the centre of town, things like that. Jess, in fact, is always welcome because she doesn't like anchovies. She orders a Caesar salad, so I nick her anchovies. It's a great result for me. They often have. Perth came in quite big numbers this year. It was good fun in here. It was big numbers, lots of backwards and forwards banter and things.
There was a decent group from the squadron that came over for the game before Christmas.
Was about 10 of them or so?
Yeah.
Has anyone come over and you've gone, please don't come back?
No, no, no.
You can be honest.
No. We've had this. And the thing is that when they come here, they come and join us in here, and we have a bit of a chant and a bit of a laugh with each other, and they're made to feel welcome. It's not like, sometimes you get certainly the Fury fans used to give off the don't come round our turf attitude, which is just laughable for us.
Alright, so straight into the A-League roundup. So we had a bit of a big night last night.
Rubbish night for us.
So obviously the glory got up, and today down at your place, Madness could take the Premier plate. So what I want to know is the nook made of the Premier plate, or is it just a
what?
Exactly.
The toilet seat.
Incorrect. The lid.
Are you bothered if you win it, or is it the grand final, or?
I would imagine that if we won it, we'd be quite chuffed.
Yeah.
So it's easy to say, who cares?
Yeah,
because we've never been within even a shout of it.
No.
So.
Could we take it to the place and presume it's throwing a green message? I think there is. I think there's enough.
Yeah.
There's enough made of it in the past few weeks with Brisbane obviously coming back up and closing that gap. It's not something that was pushed to the side and said, oh, I'm going to tell you the finals are matter. It doesn't matter if we don't first to see. I haven't heard anybody say that on Twitter or on Australian forums or anything. So I think there is. I think the Mariners are certainly going to go out and try and win it today. And the Brisbane are the same if they have the chance. So.
I think the good thing about the Premier's play this season is because there have been two teams that have had like 10-point leads over all the others and have both come back into the pack, has made it a bit more interesting with, like, last year with Brisbane like being out in front for most of the season. Well, this year, like, we've had Brisbane out in front and then falling back. We've had the Mariners out in front and then falling back. We've had various teams up and down in second and third that have come close.
And to be quite honest, more should be made of it. I mean, if you finish top after the whole of the regular season, then you've played bloody well. I mean, knockout competitions, like, anything can happen. It's just you know, a dodgy decision here or there, and anything can happen.
Dodgy decision from the A-League refs? No.
Oh, we'll be coming on to refs in a bit.
Really? Excellent.
Well, yeah.
I might need to leave. You did mention there are some words we can't use.
But Pat, you're about teams coming and going. Pat always seems to be on a bit of a mission. And you guys now could face a tricky away trip there.
Away to Perth would be a nightmare for us. It's that travel where we can be just a whiffle over there. And disturbingly, Smeltsy's found some form again. And All Whites always screw us over. It's unbelievable how often an All White causes us problems.
And what, All White, today, anyone in the UK is a New Zealand national player.
Yeah. No, we're just racist.
Watch McGlinchey turn up today for the Mariners and cause us problems, because that's just what they always do. That's why we should bring them all home, then they can't play against us.
It's one of the problems of having the National Selected coach as your gaffer, is all of the players wanting to make the national team always want to impress them, so they always play well against us, which is a bit of a downside, I guess.
Zachary.
And what about Sydney FC and Jets? Do you think that's going to go today? Win a take all game?
I'm hoping that the Jets will win, let's be honest.
Well, the Jets,
if we get the Jets, then we can thrash them.
But we wouldn't. If the Jets win, I think, don't they sneak ahead of Hart?
Yeah, but if we go,
and then
we
get
fourth,
Hart here next week.
No, if we go fourth, which we don't do as well as we want to, they go fifth.
Oh, that's true, yes.
And they have a rubbish record here. What is it, like eight wins to us and a draw, is it?
Good.
We love the Jets.
Great, I like it.
And actually, because the other thing that's quite good there is Hart could go to Perth and turn them over, which would give us the home game.
They're the most likely to beat Perth out of the
I think the
put a multi on that and see what odds you get.
I think the ideal for the finals for the Phoenix at least would be the Hart going to Perth and doing them over and then coming back here for it.
The problem with Hart is that they did really well and then Fred went in. And without Fred in the centre of their midfield.
He went missing.
And since he's come back into form, they've sort of crept back up. It's the middle of the season where they went down again. They're not a bad team. On their day, they're great.
Let Manny Musk sort Fred out. Problem solved.
You mean like you sorted Marco out?
It was an accident.
Going into the finals next week, is there anyone you fancy or actually fancy not having?
At home. Tracy fancy at home. Fancy.
Anyone.
Yeah, Tracy fancies Vinny Lear. And fancies having him home or away.
So, guy in the top hat and tails. Anyone at all?
I think that's what I said. Was that what you just said?
You're
just still talking about Tracy. you back us at home against anybody, apart from the top two.
You've got one of the top two today, so we'll see how that pans out.
The last time we had one, we didn't win as well.
But what it comes down to is that we're probably going to have to go to Perth, and that's just ugly for us. It's just the travel, the logistics, everything becomes just so much harder. And then even when they come here, they steal completely undeserved the wins in the last 3 minutes.
All three games this season against Perth were pretty rubbish games. We picked up the points one time, but it was a corner in the 87th minute or something. And so it was a 4-0 draw up until then. So
the style of our midfield and Perth's midfield are rather similar and pretty average at times, let's be honest.
Except Jacob Burns is far more of a cheating wink.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Use that word?
Yeah, that's staging.
There was the word that you were going to use, wasn't it?
It's not the word I normally use to describe Jacob Burns, let's be honest.
And I think alongside the words Jacob Burns, you get a free pass.
It was within context, Phil Howard. It's a winner for me. All right, favourites to take the comp. If it's not Wellington, so I'm not going to ask you to go back against your own team. If it's not Wellington, who do you reckon is going to take the comp?
Brisbane.
Brisbane?
Yeah, I think Brisbane.
Definitely Brisbane.
The Mariners haven't been the same team since Matt Simon.
Does everyone remember Ange Postecoglou when no one wanted to employ him?
I remember him when Craig Foster bailed him up on SBS and
he did. That was
absolutely destroyed him because the youth team lost. Yet when the same youth team lost under a Dutchman, it was worthy of a parade. Hilarious.
How big is the check going to be that Sydney FC get out to try and get Postecoglou?
Melbourne tried last year and failed, so...
They go for Arnold, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah. Puppet Master. Because
they've
teed them up. The Indonesians have the money to pay. That's probably what he needs, what he wants, I guess.
I think Andrew will go this season, and he'll either go down to Melbourne, as in Hearts, or he will go to Sydney FC. And more than likely, Sydney FC.
You would think. Well, that's what I'm calling it.
But Sydney FC, to be fair...
There's a strong rumour around that they've got Graham Arnold set to leave Mariners and join them, so might leave Ange.
Are Mariners still at shambles in the back office?
Yeah, I think so.
I think selling Simon, was it Simon or Riston Griffith? Whichever one went for around $1 million gave him enough money to see the season out.
Yeah, so they're in the bad
way. That's the only reason he went.
All right, I know we're all in. You're all in. I'm not in your Wellington gear. But we're going to move on to a bit of EPL football. You're all right. That's an unbelievable Tekkers t-shirt. But I've never seen that one. Is that a Soccer AM one?
No, it's a genuine unbelievable Tekkers.
Come on, I've never seen an unbelievable. The only unbelievable Tekkers ones I've seen are the Soccer AM.
There is actually an unbelievable Tekkers brand producing unbelievable Tekkers gear.
You're looking at me as if you own fucking unbelievable.
I don't. I wish I did.
Unbelievable Tekkers t-shirts on trade.
Yeah. No, it's genuine out of the UK, off the website. Get amongst it.
So one of them hasn't copyrighted it. Because both are flogging it as well. But Arsenal got a win last night. Blackburn did get beat 6 weeks ago. Both managers were looking to get fired.
No, they weren't. Come on. Arsene Wenger was never looking to get fired.
Well, people were calling for the Zed and they haven't lost
seven games. A small number of people, maybe.
No, there was a lot.
Yeah, but there was no genuine chance of getting fired.
What I'm saying is, what a difference 6-7 weeks makes. Now, unbeaten in seven, third on the ladder, they were 10 points behind Spurs, and now I've gone over them.
The occasional Arsenal fan is the one defending Wenger, I will say.
Oh, what I'm saying.
Steve Keane, on the other hand, he's still on a slippery slope.
Keane, to be fair though, he's got Blackburn out of the shit. They're still in there, because any 3 hour at bottom four, who knows. But from where they were. But I think it was totally unfair. You know, and are we quick as fans sometimes? There are a lot of fans too quick to jump the gun and shout for the manager's head. When you look what just happened in the last 6 weeks.
I think there's a constant Sack Ricky thread on the other people forums.
There is. It has become a running joke now, because every time we lose a game, some Muppet, usually Danny Hay or Billy Harris or some New Zealand media wannabe clown Muppet, pops up and says that Ricky's not up to it and should go. So it's become a running joke now.
Right. The thread hasn't been touched for a good portion of this year, though.
You should just go on just for a laugh, just GM up.
Well, it's quite amusing going back a couple of years and to just, read. Yeah,
what's funny is going back to the start of the season and reading the New Zealand press about the Phoenix. Guaranteed wooden spoon.
That was Australian press.
Ricky's not up to it. Don't know what they're doing. Don't know how to play.
Not creative. Look
Nick,
boring.
Nick Minute.
Oh no, you didn't.
Never. No. Never.
Tragic.
Can you get it that out?
Get it out. These two look lost because it's such a New Zealand thing.
No one gets that at all. Anyway, but next thing you know, we're in the finals again, playing some good football. Sometimes.
One manager in the Prem, I've taken you out of England. No, that's fine.
Bring it back to A League, any of this, I said it's all fluid. But one manager, I think, who's Ted is squarely on the chopping block now. It's Dalgleish.
The Messiah.
Oh, well, so oh, lovely well, King losing.
King, King Kenny. You know, he come back last year. I don't know, right? He spent $100 million in the summer. He keeps telling us to decide. You know, is making progress. Yeah, again overnight. They have won the League Cup. They're still in the semi-finals for the FA Cup. Progress. If you spent $100 million in the summer, you're surely not going to do the Champions
League. The League Cup is a bit of a minor premiership in the A League, isn't it? No one gives a shit anymore, do they?
I think. I wouldn't say a club of Liverpool's stature. And I'm not a Liverpool fan, by the way. Really care. But, yeah. You know, the
target rich environment.
anyone from eighth place down would be really happy to win the League Cup. But a club like Liverpool.
Are they eighth place down or not?
Liverpool are seventh.
They should be well happy.
Well, the thing is, they're not going to get a Champions League spot. And they will struggle to even get like sixth, because it's so tight now and there's so many teams going to play. But, you know, 100 million, does he stay, does he go? Because there's managers who
The first question you have to ask is, if he goes, who comes in?
Mourinho.
Why would Mourinho go to Liverpool? Serious question, that's not a wind-up.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Why would a manager of that stature be interested in a club that's in such a bad way?
That's
a genuine question.
Liverpool fans, they still actually fairly believe that they're the club that they were 20 years ago.
Yeah. But they're clearly not.
And that's the point in front of me. I'm sure Mourinho absolutely doesn't think that.
But if you had such a Liverpool fan, who do you want? They'll go, we want Mourinho, and he better be putting a bid in for Iniesta. These sort of players, you're like, wait there, you do realise you are Liverpool.
Yeah.
No, you're all about the League Cup, and then they'll just blow up in your face.
But you made a point earlier, you know, that you could have had that same conversation 6 weeks ago with Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not really a top club, so.
So are we jumping? They're going too quick against Arsenal to tell leash. Have you made progress over the last year?
Too far. I'm not close enough to know.
Right.
You know, you can't just judge a club on the league table, I don't think.
I think one of the problems with EPL is a bit of a fishbowl. I mean, for people who don't like follow it constantly, if you look at the musical chairs they play with some of the managers, you wonder how any of the teams are meant to build. Like, if you look at the likes of the A-League clubs the last couple of seasons, like, they've actually had some stable managers that have booked up some teams.
I think the ones in the A-League...
Can I just point out that Meron Blyberg and Ian Ferguson don't count as stable managers?
Meron Blyberg is the only manager I'd trade Ricky for, but just for comedy, not for football. Just for hilariousness.
It seems like, for an outsider, every time you look at the news in the EPL, there's always some article about some manager getting fired and someone else being hired. And it's like, how are they meant to build a squad? I mean, fair enough, you could spend £100 million going and buying a whole bunch of players. But if he doesn't have much time to actually bring in a new system and get those players used to this new system, like, how is he meant to be successful?
Well, earlier we talked about referees. And I want to bring it back to the thing. There's one thing, and it's something I did notice in the Premier League this week, was a referee doing a warm-up, and then as he left to go and get changed, stopped at the tunnel, shaking hands, having his photo taken, and signing autographs for the kids. Now, referees now...
Harry Tasker.
Have we got to a point now where referees are going to start needing agents because they've got ideas... Well above the stations.
You know what? I tell you what. If you're a good referee, then you probably deserve an agent because there just aren't many of them around. You should be able to charge.
This guy was not a good referee because he went out. This was Everton versus Arsenal, and he disallowed two perfect goals for Everton and needed a police escort out of the stadium. Yeah. No one wanted his autograph then.
Probably him not so much. But
would you
good referees are in pretty short supply.
I wouldn't want to do that job.
No.
Yeah, a referee deserves a medal. After every game, rather than whatever salary they get. But would you be happy if you had a game and a referee was signing autographs? If you were away from...
If it was an A-League game, then the referee would be lucky to be breathing if he was somewhere near me, generally.
I have no issue with that at all.
No.
Really?
No.
Go on.
No.
We did.
Why? If a kid goes up to someone who's, you know, out in the middle of the park...
Yeah.
Whether he's a player, a coach, referee, who's to say, turn around that kid and say, nah, I'm not signing?
I tell you what, if you were a wee scouser, you'd rather have the referee's autograph than Andy Carroll's, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah, there you go.
But what I'm saying is, are we getting to a point now, certainly within the Premier League, some referees are very, very high profile. And are they sort of thinking,
is it because they're terribly far?
Or some of them for the right decision, some of them for the wrong.
What's he supposed to do? Look at this the other way around. You know, if some little kid goes up and asks the referee for his autograph, what's the referee going to do? No. Red card. Get out in the face, kids. No, I can't sign autographs.
My opinion is, if a kid goes up to a referee and asks for his autograph and a picture, you give the autograph and you give the picture, that's fine, because you're making a little kid his day. That kid might be a wannabe referee in the next 5 years. Might be
later. No, he should be shocked. But
yeah. But what
you've got... You've got pretty low self-esteem if you want to be a referee at the age of five.
Referees who actually really caught that sort of publicity. And it's...
What's your... Do they though?
Yeah.
What's your... Have you got some evidence to back that statement up?
I'll find you some on YouTube. Okay. there are referees.
There was actually referees in Russia. Yeah. Like a national league, 20 years ago. Yeah. And that was the likes of Pierluigi.
Kalina was a great ref.
These guys were superstars in their own right because of what they did on the pitch. Now, some of them are good and some of them are bad. We never draft referees in this league. We'd rather have which ones we certainly would have.
Which ones do we want?
None of them.
It's a short list.
What Stribber did that?
Stribradovsky's a fantastic really good referee.
But on Twitter and on Facebook, the A-League, on their feed, they've got, right, this week's hashtags are blah, 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 blah. I've actually messaged them and said, can we just have one hashtag? And it should just be A-League round 21. Okay, let's just keep it simple. And then it's an easy trend then. But they actually send out, well, telling you who the referees are. Yeah. And then on the Monday, they were sending correspondence out saying, rate the ref. And I'm thinking, you're asking for trouble because...
No one that supports a losing team is going to give the ref a pass, mate.
That's it.
I think asking the fans to rate the ref is like asking the football players to rate the stadiums, because we know those ratings are bollocks.
And the ref is never going to get a good rating from everyone.
But people only rate referees when they think they've done a bad job.
Yeah. Correct.
You watch on the forums, people only post when they think the refs have a bad game. They never say, oh, by the way, I thought that ref had a great game.
Yeah. Especially when something's gone against them and the ref's got it right. By the way, When Siggy got sent off today, great decision.
Yeah.
You know, no one's ever going to say that.
So, the A-League, in my opinion, the A-League...
No one's going to say Siggy got sent off.
Yeah.
My opinion, the FFA are incorrect in saying rate the ref, because the referees, whether you like it or not, they read those forums, I reckon. And, you know, just to get feedback themselves, and you're like...
But does that create an opportunity for people to say, I thought the ref had a good game?
Yeah, maybe they're trying to encourage that kind of...
Because they're going to get people who say the ref was cracked today, but is that trying to get people to be a bit more positive about when they...
How many people would come out and say the only time you know the referee's had a good game is when no one comes out and talks about the referee altogether, about the match.
I don't think that's quite true, because there are occasions where refs can be rubbish, and everyone will agree that they were average and whatnot. But, I mean, we do have, even on the LAP forums, when we have a bad game and we think the refs have been against us, there's still people that come out and say, well, you know, the refs made the right call there, whether people like it or not, you know, you can argue the point. But, I mean, I don't think you'll always have everyone, like, digging into the ref. There's always, you know, the like-minded people that say, well, actually, they made the right call, or, you know, they could have interpreted it this way or that way.
I remember a game, I think it was Victory versus Gold Coast, and there were three penalties in the first half, and every single one of them was the correct decision. And even though the referee got every single one right, there wasn't a whole lot of positive comments coming out. The ref was sort of, okay, good call. But there wasn't a whole lot afterwards saying, yeah, that ref had a great game. But then you look at games where there are red cards for no reason, for putting the ball up, dropping it, you see, yellow, like it happened to us round two. You get a whole lot of comments coming out saying we've had a shock. I think for it to happen, conversations like that happen on Yellow Fever forums or Sydney FC or Victory forums, I think that's fine. But for the the A-League to be promoting that kind of conversation, I don't necessarily agree with it.
Alright, is there a referee that, if you look at a Phoenix fixture and it says, and the referee for this fixture is bang, and you all just go, ah.
Ben Williams.
That's a long list.
Ben Williams is the one that just drives me into
it. See, and this is what I'm saying is, so straight away, the FFA put it out there and go, right, these are the rest of this week, and rate this ref. You're automatically going to say, not him again. And then, you know.
I think there's an issue.
I've got to be honest, it's not an issue that's keeping me awake at night, the FFA's soliciting feedback at about referees. There are good ones and bad ones in every league, just like there's good players and bad players in every squad.
There's sometimes some comments about New Zealand refs playing Wellington home games, where I know whether the refs are trying to avoid being perceived as being a home referee, that they'll sometimes go too much the other way and forget to actually be impartial. That sometimes that can raise a few eyebrows.
I don't think they would do that intentionally. I don't think they would go out to make calls one way or the other intentionally. I think they just call it as they see it. And sometimes they do become homie referees, as Miron put it.
Homie referees. Cat backwards, jeans down, skateboards up.
It was Miron. But I think that it just influences it as it happens. If you have 15,000, like you do have it.
It's a tough gig, eh? It's a tough gig. Yeah.
It's never easy.
No, it's not.
I just remember Peter O'Leary walking on the street in Christchurch. A drug greedy walks past him and starts singing at the top of his lungs. The referee is shit and he's wearing blue.
No autograph requested then?
No.
No photo opportunities then?
Peter O'Leary and Matt Conger. Wrong place, wrong time.
And last on this little section, did you see that?
Yeah, you've done it again.
Two this time.
He's so impressed that I got it.
Amazing.
Another beer on the way.
You'll get each other for a man who's talking.
Did you see that's your missus?
Hey?
Is that your missus?
Yeah.
You must have a massive one.
I've got something in my second. And another one I come on today was John Terry for player coach at Chelsea.
What about Stevie G for player coach at
well, this could happen. It doesn't happen a lot in the top flight. But if John, you're absolutely right, and I didn't think of that, but John Terry's been touted as player manager for Chelsea because he's been injured the last couple of weeks, but barking orders off the touchline, helping.
It's kind of like making Manny Martin making Kevin Muscat, you know, coach at Melbourne Victory.
It's worked out pretty good.
Well, it's what they kind of done now.
Well, it's in
they've
effect,
got puppets
yeah.
in front, but
in effect, yeah. I mean, will we see Stevie G? Will we see John Terry? Will we see Muscat?
I hope so.
Now, because Majil obviously got the gig.
Muscat's in 100% record as Victory coach,
doesn't
he?
One for one.
As an Ipswich Town fan, and knowing how well they've worked with Roy Keane coaching, I'm not going to advocate any of these solutions.
Yeah, but that's why it's great, though. I'm very pro this.
Yeah, because it could go horribly wrong with both those clubs.
All the opposition clubs will love that idea, actually. Yeah, yeah. But
Chelsea and Liverpool going turning into trade wrecks even more is going to upset everyone.
So, a player manager, would it work? Would it not work? At any club?
It might work, but it won't happen because both Steven Gerrard and John Terry are too smart. Why would you? There's not a lot of money in it.
I'm not sure that's something I've ever heard said about Steven Gerrard, that he's too smart.
I think John Terry would jump at it.
You reckon?
Yeah.
He's got a massive ego. He would love it.
Have you seen him on a bench since?
Stevie G's got a massive
ego. There's a rather popular image floating around on Twitter where the guy's standing in the dugout and he's waving at the players behind the coach, telling them to change positions and stuff, which I thought was quite interesting.
That's John Terry.
Yeah.
He's barking orders from the touchline. And when you say there's not a lot of money in it, come out this week, Mourinho, €10 million.
Yeah, but John Terry ain't Mourinho. You can't see a yardstick as Mourinho.
But then this money in coaching, though. Brass and Benny got €7 million.
Yeah.
Figs, 6.8. I didn't realise.
I suppose the difference is those guys are extra good at coaching.
Oh, shit. Well, are they coaches or are they managers?
Well, how would that compare to their player salary?
Well, what's that? $6 million is $50,000 a week, so it'd be a third or a quarter of a top flight player.
But once you come to the end of your career, you're in and not. Then you've got $25 million, $30 million in the bank.
Right, exactly. So you're at the end of your career, you don't need the money. So why would you do it?
What's
your incentive?
Because I know, go back a couple of years, she'd have thought he was the man to step in to try.
Even he was smart enough to. He took him a while, didn't it, to ease into it.
And then he bailed.
Didn't go out so good.
No, I
reckon they'd be mugs if they did it. And they would only do it because they've got an ego the size of a house. And it'll end badly. They'll end up getting sacked by the club where everyone loved them.
So and then their memories change.
Takes us back to that King Kenny.
Wait, is he going to come out of retirement?
Who?
Mike Kenny.
Player coach.
He might need to.
Could he be worse than Andy Carroll?
No.
They'll all be looking to go to Everton, aren't they?
Well, we'll sign. No way. All right, so we're just going to suck it out towards the end. Now, Gillingham update, you'll be aware, we actually follow the team every week. There's the UK Football Podcast, they follow the A-League, and it's for us. So their team this year is Melbourne Heart, so we need to obviously... Well,
going off them?
No.
Would you pick a team with no Kiwis on?
Well,
they've got that horrible...
Next season they are going to change. They are going to change the side. We've got Jess, who does our podcast with us, or podcast with us. She's over in the UK in 2 weeks. She's going to be on the UK version with those guys, and she's going to be plugging away. And they're going to choose a side from the A League to follow. Is that another wicket?
Schnicko says.
Bingo. So
the good news is they're getting close to 400. So that should mean we only have to bet twice.
So they follow Melbourne Park. So what we did. We countered it and we've gone for Gillingham in the UK.
Bit cool.
You smile there. Do you know something from Gillingham?
I've had fun going to
Stamford
Bridge and watching
the game. Oh, there's a story there, isn't there? I've had fun.
Gillingham, you just jumped out of that seat with a big smile on your face.
Who is he?
It is.
They're in the fourth. It is a pool, yeah. They're in the fourth tier. They're sitting in ninth. Yesterday, 2-0 up at Bradford. This is the fourth tier that the English set up. Just under 10,000, so that's not bad. And then with 8 minutes to go, Bradford got it back, so they drew 2-2. It was ridiculous. They're still sitting.
Isn't that cool to Liverpool after the QPR?
Yeah.
So they're still in
with a chance. So fingers crossed for Gillingham. We'll see what's going on there.
How many places do you get for a playoff? As a
seven.
Top seven.
It's because three go up. Out of that
three or four.
Out of that one, so the top three and then four. So they're only about 4 points off, 3 points off now. So
you've clearly not played enough Football Manager, Dale.
There's plenty of games to go. So Gillingham, if you're going to follow a club in the UK, even if it's just for a laugh, between now and the end of the season, just keep an eye out for Gillingham. Just wish him well.
Do they have a player coach?
I think Andy has. Oh, no. Hey, now that was a bloody brilliant link, because Heston Tyler, who's their manager, I'm pretty sure he was a player there, and then he went to be player manager and then straight into manager. I am 99.9% sure. Has anyone got wiki?
I do, but I'm way too lazy to look.
All right, well, we'll check after this. But I'm pretty damn sure Heston Tyler's been there a lot of years. He played in the playoff final when he nearly went into the Championship or the Prem, when they played Man City, when the Man City surgeons come on, and then they lost against City, and that was when Dickhoff scored. So it was only that decline, and then City went the other way. So just to finish off, thanks everyone for coming. But I want to go round the table. I want to know your prediction for today's game and one thing I must do in Wellington before I leave.
Start there.
Yeah, that's your must do. I'll start.
You've already got a Phoenix game in the back picture.
I think it may be 1-1 today.
Yeah.
And the thing you need to do in Wellington is swim in the bucket fountain.
Yeah. Cuba Street's bucket fountain.
I'll ask him what that is.
Get sent to get wet.
It's -2 out there. We're dead. He's just wicked something. Was he a player manager?
Player from 1996 to 2006, and then managed from 2000 to 2004. So
Manager from 2000.
Yep.
But he's managing now, though.
Yeah.
He's playing manager.
And then got the sack, and then continued playing for 2 more years.
Perfect. Went to Dover, and then came back to GM last year.
There we go.
Precedent set.
Today's score.
Today's score.
We'll come back to you then.
We're going to win 1-0.
Alright.
And the thing you must do in Wellington before you leave is Tracy Hodge.
Jake, can you take a picture because we'll put this to the vote?
No, you can't do that. That's harsh.
Put it on the E50U voting. Most popular attraction award next year.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I reckon 4-1 result to the Phoenix.
I think we need
to win by 3 to get into 3rd. And I think Michael needs to fire up today. So.
And anything should do for being Wellington, or any away fan should do.
Top of Mount Vic in the Southern League.
Well, being very friendly, I'm still not what it is.
you can't combine those two either.
We can't. No. Oh, come on.
2-1 Phoenix.
See what, and what should we do in Wellington before we
Cable car. Yeah.
Rock and roll. Alright, anyone else got anything to say?
Yeah, it'll be 2-all, and what you should do is the fish Balti House. It's fantastic.
Alright, Phoenix fans, thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you very much to the backbencher. It's been an absolutely fabulous 3 days. The hospitality value in this city has been superb. Will we be back? Absolutely, we'll be back, and we really appreciate everything you've done for us.
If you're listening to this, get on and vote for us in the whatever we can be voted for.
Yes, it is worth mentioning. Supporters Club of the Year and also Bar of the Year Backbencher. So go to fftu.net and vote for the Phoenix and for the Backbencher on both of those categories.
Your vote may or may not count.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.